I'm Holly.
And I'm Bridget.
And this
is Girls Next Level.
Welcome back to Girls Next Level, everybody. We have a very special guest with us today. When Bridget and I lived at the mansion, Katie Manzella was a teenager who would often come to the mansion. Her mother was a playmate in the 70s, Sandra Theodore, and you may have seen her on Secrets of Playboy Season 2. We're super excited to talk to her today, get to know her better, and get her unique perspective. Welcome to the show, Katie.
Thank you for having me. This is really nostalgic, as I said to you earlier. Aww. This feels really special.
Yeah, we are so excited to have you because, I mean, we just, like Holly just said, we just knew you as like a teenager. And so now I feel like we get to know you as an adult. And I feel like that's true with like Cooper and, Marston and Colin. Yeah. I was putting Colin and Marston kind of together.
Mm-hmm. You know what's so weird is I feel like season two of this podcast, the theme with the guests, it's all been people who kind of grew up at the mansion in one way or another.
And we definitely want to talk to you about that. Like, you were going there basically since you were born.
Right, yeah.
What is the first memory you have?
You know, they're all kind of, you know, kind of fuzzy, but my first, real core memories of being there, like, swimming in the grotto and, mm-hmm. Like when my mom would bring me and my brother up on probably a Sunday or something, and going in the game room and like playing on the pinball machine that my mom's on. So those are
I didn't think about that. How special.
Yeah. And then like going in the cage with the monkeys. Those are like my core, like early childhood memories. But I mean, honestly, swimming in the grotto was like so fun for me when I was little, and I thought there was like a shark in the deep end of the pool.
Yeah,
like I
was
like,
fun.
I was so young, but like, you know, we were good swimmers, so no one was watching us. It was just like me and my brother, like just swimming while my mom's hanging out with her friends. So it was all very like, you know, fun and like mm-hmm. a big playground for me when I was little.
About how often would you come up? You'd probably come to Easter every year.
Yeah, definitely. I came to Easter like every year pretty mm-hmm. much until like maybe the last few years of Hef's life. I like maybe stopped going because it was starting to get a little weird for me there.
Oh, we'll get into that.
But yeah, I went every Easter. And then I think my mom would just bring me up to like see her friends. And then when I got older, it was like when my dad would take me more, and then I got mm-hmm. went to the party. So,
and weren't you referred to as the mansion baby for a while? Because weren't you like the first like baby of a playmate?
I don't know if I was necessarily the first, but I was definitely like one of the. I think it was very rare for someone mm-hmm. to have like the kind of privileges I had there as a mansion baby. And I think maybe I might have been like the only like ex-girlfriend of like a child of like an ex-girlfriend to really have that kind of experience there. Mm-hmm. Like throughout his life, like I know there were others like after me that might have had, but I think it was more like early childhood for them. So I had like my whole kind of like childhood into like early adulthood there. So yeah, they called us mansion babies.
Yeah. I feel like Therese was the mansion baby.
Totally.
When we were
there. And I would like babysit her there. Yeah. And it was so like wild for me because I'd be like watching her swim in the grotto, and she had like the curly hair like I had so when I was cute. Little. And like, and I'd go take her to play in the game room. So it was like, oh my God, I'm like watching my childhood through this. It was really, it's such a trip. People don't really understand like Playboy was actually like quite a family, which is also the cult vibes, I guess, too. But it really was like a big family for me.
Yeah, well, that was actually kind of my question. Like, what was the mansion like for you? Like, what did it feel like for you when you were going up there? You know, because people have such preconceived notions, and then they have what they saw in Girls Next Door. But what was it like for you?
I mean, it just felt like a very safe place for me. It was magic, but because it's where I was, you know, what I had known, like, my whole life, it wasn't, like, weird to me. Or, you mm-hmm. know, and I grew up around, you know, a lot of, you know, wealthy children my childhood. So I was used to, like, the big houses and all that. So it wasn't like, I was like, oh, my God, this is, you know, but Hef's house was definitely very special with all the animals and even just everything. Yeah. There was a magic to that place. And I just felt at home there and loved because everyone would see me and be mm-hmm. so happy to see me. So it just made me feel very deeply loved when I was there.
There was kind of a feeling like that. Like it wasn't, I mean, I was just a random girl who came to the Sunday pool party. So it wasn't like I was this beloved child or anything. But I remember even when I would come up on Sundays before I was involved with Hef at all, there was this feeling like I would feel like I would walk up there and everybody was happy to see me and remembered my name, everybody from the other guests to staff. And I was just like, whoa. It was easy to feel like that was kind of like your home base social life.
Like, exactly. It was like a country club. It was like a whimsical, magical country club. Like it was, and where everyone knows your name. Like it was just really like, it just made you feel at home. And, you know, I'm sure there was like drama going on amongst like certain like regulars there, but I didn't get caught up in that. I was just having fun.
Well, this wasn't one of my questions, but because you brought it up, like it was like a family, and then you said like, but also like a, maybe that's the cult vibe. Because I just feel like we should talk about that a little bit more. Like what differentiates, like it's a family, but then when does it tip to cult like?
Right. I mean, I definitely don't think it's like a traditional like cult like situation, but there definitely has that like mentality of, you know, keeping, you know, your these people super like close and loyal to you so that even in your death, like you have this army of people who are gonna defend you no matter what is said about you that is true. They're not gonna hear it and they're gonna fight till the death, like, you know, it's like it's I think it was just about like making sure like he had that entourage almost too, like, and I hate saying that because it's really hard for me to like not see Hef as the Hef that I had known my whole life, you know. It really has been really sad for me, but I think we are such multidimensional people, like we have many layers and aspects to our identity, and I do believe the goodness I saw in Hef, like there was truth to that, but I also think like he wanted to keep this whole, you know, he must have known that like on some level people might speak up one day about their truth. And, you know, he has this whole army of people. I don't know. I guess that doesn't really make sense as like if it being a cult, but like, I don't know. It just makes me think he wanted to keep a lot of people close to him.
I think it makes 100% sense. Okay. And even when I was there and like totally in love with Hef and totally thought he was the greatest ever, I definitely had that feeling like, well, I think he keeps like all his exes on the list and makes them feel really welcome because he knows that the invitations to the parties are so coveted that he wants to like keep everybody happy that way. And that's kind of like a carrot he can dangle. And I think another thing when you talk about like cult versus family, I think another element that, you know, people out there who might be listening who've just never been involved in anything like that need to know is every cult has a way of making you feel good and included and like it's a family. Like nobody goes and joins a cult because they're like, you know what? I hate myself, so I'm going to go to a place where I'm going to be forced to drink poison Kool-Aid. Right. Nobody does that. Everybody joins because they feel belonging and it feels good in the beginning.
Yeah. And that's why when people are like question like why people stay in an environment like that. And it's like, I have so much compassion for why people stay. And like my mom, it's like when she first was like turning against Hef, I was like, well, if it was so bad, why did you stay? And it's like, because it wasn't so bad and he knew how to manipulate her and target someone's vulnerabilities and like make them feel so special one minute and then the next minute they're, you know, he's being like, you know, tearing down her sense of self and, you know, so.
But even when there's good stuff, there's still the bad.
Totally.
You know, like
100%. And now that like I know what I know now, I'm like, of course he was a fucking asshole. My God, that makes so much sense to me. Like, how could I not like see that before? That makes so much sense. But I didn't have that like direct experience with him. You know, he was always, but I see now when he saw me, and I would like to believe there was truth in his joy in seeing me. I also know he was like, he knew how to charm. And he was charming me and making me on, you know, like be on his side and, you know, adore him. So
I think it's both. I think like Bridget and I were talking about this in an episode not long ago about how when an ex-girlfriend, like maybe the woman he dated right before me would come up, he would just like light up and make the biggest deal about her. And we think it's like twofold. I mean, yeah, there's definitely, well, actually threefold. There's definitely the part where he wants to keep everybody talking good about him and in the good graces and feeling special. But also, I feel like sometimes with certain people, part of it was to make his current girlfriends feel like shit.
Yes.
Like, I'm going to drop all you guys and run over to the last girl because she was amazing and you can never live up. But then also, I do think there was a genuine sentimentality and he was happy to see those people.
Right.
I don't think either one cancels the other out. Yeah. I think it was all of those
things. I think he was a very complicated man. 100%. And I think he did a lot of you know, not so good things in his life, but I also think that there was a light in him. And I think that, yeah, he just was a very complicated man. Mm-hmm. And it's not like, it doesn't mean what he did that was like that hurt people is forgivable or any of that. It just means that he's a man. I mean,
yeah,
kind of a lot of men are.
Yeah, they don't cancel each other out. Like the good things don't make the bad things untrue and the bad things don't make the good things untrue, you know?
But it can make me feel like sometimes like, God, is something wrong with me that I like hold like these good memories of him and like still like I'm very fond of him. It's like, oh, well, maybe I should go to therapy about this. But it's like, no, because that was real too.
But it's why we wanted you on the show today too, because I relate to what you're saying so much, because I feel like my memories of Hef are very fond. And even though I've seen him act a certain way, and especially towards Holly, my memories are still very fond. And my thoughts of the mansion are still fond. But then I can't deny that these things are happening.
Totally.
And the same for you. Your memories are fond of the mansion and Hef, but you can't deny what happened to your mom.
Absolutely.
So it's hard. It's hard to like go, wait, this is the same person, and these can both be true. But in your brain, you're like, no, I have to pick a side.
Exactly. Yeah. But it's like, but that's what I think it's so important for people to understand, to have like compassion for people who are in environments like this, that one person might have a completely different experience and like doesn't mean that the other person's experience isn't true or valid. Mm-hmm. And I think so many people are like, no, it has to be this one way. Otherwise, everyone else is a liar. And it's like, no, that's so like far from the truth. And I think it's important for people to open their minds to the fact that there can be like more than one truth in a situation. And you can still honor your experience while respecting another person's experience. So,
well, and I also think that looking back on things like Holly and your mom and you and me, our opinions can change on things.
Totally.
Like we might have thought everything was great at the moment, but now looking back on it and doing the podcast and rehashing things and stuff, you're like, wait a minute. Oh, maybe that wasn't cool. Did that. Maybe. And you start thinking and you have different thoughts on it and different feelings towards it. And those might change again.
Absolutely.
The further we go.
I mean, my mind's changed so much over this stuff, like over the years, and I know it'll continue. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing. It's like we're allowed to change our minds and like shift our perspectives. And so, yeah, it's definitely been a journey of shifting my perspective on things. So.
We learn and we grow and we hear more stories and maybe they're good stories and maybe they're bad stories, but each one kind of affects us and changes how we see that situation that we were all in.
Mm-hmm. Different vibe. And I wanted like, you know, a nose job and fake boobs and my dad wouldn't let me and I was like, fine. And then I guess they were doing like a shoot with like some of the daughters of Playmates. Mm-hmm. And I think Allison actually was like, oh, you should do it, Katie. And then my mom and dad found out that like Allison was trying to get me to do it. And they were so mad. They're like, no. And it's so funny to me because like my dad managed Playmates and like my mom was one, but they did not want that for me. And I was like, okay, and that's fine. And I don't think I would have regretted it if I did it, but it just wasn't part of my journey to go down that road. And
it's funny. That was my very next question. Yeah. Would your parents have been supportive of that?
No, they weren't. Yeah, they did not.
Which is shocking. It really is shocking. But maybe what we know now,
it's not as shocking.
Yeah, like, I get it now. My mom, like, it was like her knowing, like, I didn't know what she had gone through, but it was just her not being ready to tell me.
Yeah, but if you would have told me that at the time, that they weren't supportive of that, I would have been like, what?
I know.
What
makes
are you
no
even
sense.
Talking about?
Yeah.
How? Of all people.
No.
Tell me about your relationship with your mom growing up. Were you guys really close?
You know, we had I think a lot of mother-daughter relationships can be kind of crazy, but we had a hard time. You know, she was a single mom and then she remarried and that was a very toxic relationship. And I felt like I kind of lost my mom in that relationship. Mm-hmm. And he was very like, he was like a born again Christian, so he was like very strict and crazy. And so it was like, hello, I grew up at the Playboy Mansion. Like these rules aren't gonna work for me. Like, and my dad's like so chill and cool. Like it was just complete night and day. I was like, I felt like I was like just a prisoner. So that really, he like isolated. So it was like, oh my God, my mom is repeating the cycles. Like my dad was like a good man that she was with, but he was also just like wanting to, stay young forever and have fun. And so their relationship wasn't meant to last long and they were just meant to bring me and my brother here. But my mom like remarrying was just like that my ex-stepdad, like, it was just her repeating the cycle of being in, like, really abusive relationships with, like, a narcissist and a manipulative man who, you know, and so that was really hard on our relationship. But I always, we always found a way to, like, always return it to love. And even when we were going through our hardest chapters, like, we would always come back to each other and remember, like, what matters. And now we're really close, and I can tell her anything. And, you know, I mean, she still can drive me crazy, but I, I love her, you know, and I have so much compassion for her. And she's such a beautiful soul. And she just, and everything where I was like, what is wrong with this woman? Like, when I was younger, I'm like, I completely get it now. And I see how young she was when she had me and how young she was when she was with Hef. And, you know, and I would look at those pictures of, like, her photo albums when I was younger of her with Hef. And I was, I, she seems so much older to me. And I'm like, God, she was like 19, like, and 20. Like, that's so young. Like, I was insane at that age. So it's like, I'm just like, I have so much compassion for her now. So, yeah, we've done a lot of healing. And I think her being able to tell her story, as painful as it was and as angry as I was at first, like, why would you raise me around this? Like, why would you bring me around this man? I don't get it. It's like, I completely get it now. And I have, it just brought us closer together because I understand her so much more.
Yeah, awesome. It kind of leads to my next question. I was curious, when you were growing up, what did you know about your mom's relationship with Hef? Like, did you know that they dated? Did you?
Yeah, I did. I thought he was just a part of her, you know, early life, and that they remained friends. I mean, I knew, so, like, she would say, like, some things, like, oh, he kept me from, like, pursuing my career, or, you know, and how, like, he left her for, you know, like, another woman. Like, so I knew, like, those, but I, like, stories, but I didn't know, like, all the other trauma and abuse. But, yeah, I mean, I just thought they were just buds throughout the years, and that's where my parents met, so it just felt like they were, it was just a part of her world. And, but yeah, I just, and that, the way, like, Hef, you know, saw my mom, and it was just always so magical to see their exchange. And it just made, you know, I know he was making her feel so special. It made me feel special to be like, oh, I'm a product of this woman who this very powerful man is, you know, was with. It was just very, it was, I mean, there's no words. It was just a very special, like, experience for me to see their dynamic. And then, you know, it was like a fairy tale.
Mm-hmm. How much do you think your dad knew about their relationship?
I think he knew a lot. Yeah, I think he knew a lot, because he was actually one of the people, when I started finding everything out, he was like, yeah, your mom went through a lot of, like, horrible things, actually. Like, you don't know if you used that word exactly, but, like, he was totally on my mom's side, and it made me feel really good, like, that he knew that, like, and he, you know. He knew Hef, like, he was friends with Hef, so he knew that Hef wasn't Mr. Perfect, so, and that he had, like, kind of a darker side to his personality.
Growing up, did you believe that the relationship with Hef and your mom was a positive one, a happy one?
Yeah, I really did, because, like, the pictures I saw, everything looked so magical, and, you know, and she didn't tell me about, like, she, you know, it was, like, only, like, those two stories, really, of, like, keeping her from pursuing a career, and then, even though I feel like he did let her pursue her career in ways that worked for him, but just, like, knowing about the women that he ended up, like, dating after, and whenever I'd see her at the Easter egg hunts, I'd always just be like, so, just, like, kind of snotty towards her.
That's funny.
That's, like, what I remember. But then they remained friends. Like, her, she would be at, like, my birthday parties when I was little with, like, her children. It's like, that's very culty. Like, like, even, like, the women, like, not a lot of women, like, hang around the women that, like, your ex-boyfriend left you for. Like, that's a little interesting.
But one of the things you said is you saw all the pictures and you saw how happy and
everything. Yeah, it just looks like so much fun, especially it was, like, the 70s, like, oh my, and, like, the early 80s. It was, like, party time, you know? Yeah. It was, like, it was just so fun looking. So I just thought she, and then, you know, all the women that were, I was, you know, grew up around as a child were, like, a lot of her playmate friends or, you know, people that were friends with Hef. And so it just, I just associated her time there as a positive one too, because it was her sisterhood, her friends.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the the women that I grew up around were like more like family to me than my actual family. Mm-hmm. So,
well, the reason I brought that up again is just because people point to Holly and say, look at the photos. You look, right. Look at the show. You're so having so much fun. You're smiling. You're laughing. Look at what you got out of it. And they use that against women to like, or anybody really, but they use it against us to like, especially Holly and your mom.
Oh, yeah.
Look at the photos though.
I know. I
you can't tell me you're miserable.
One of her, you know, former friends, now that most of her friends have turned against my mom since she, you know, shared her truth. They would post pictures of my mom, like all happy and smiling, like, look, she's a liar. It's like, that doesn't mean, like, that's so crazy to me. I mean, I have like, you know, and it's like, I've been through some hard times in my life and I have pictures and I'm smiling in the pictures. It's like, doesn't mean that, like, it's just.
That's what you're literally told to do in photos. Smile for the camera.
Right.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be like, even when you're miserable, you don't want to be like that asshole who's looking like shit in the photos. Cause I have this night where we went out long ago. It was like 2003. Things were miserable at the house. Like all the girls were fighting. And I was just, I had so had it. I just had this stoic look on my face. I was pissed. And then we were leaving the club and Paris Hilton comes up to take a picture with Hef and I'm just over it. I don't give a shit if I'm ruining this photo. Fuck him. But there was like this was before TMZ, but somebody was taking a video of it. And that video still lives on, like on TikTok. Right. Everybody's tagging me in that video. Like, Holly, explain this. Holly, explain this. That's why people try to make it look like everything's okay in the photos. Mm-hmm. Is because if you're the one person with like resting bitch face, people are gonna be like, what the fuck? What's right? You know, it's, you're making a statement, you know?
Absolutely. And it's also like, you can still experience like different emotions when you're in a hard time too. So it's like, and I think, like Hef was such like a, you know, he's so good at like, you know, making everyone happy in certain moments too. And I think in those moments, he probably was like reeling my mom in as well. Like, you know, making her feel special or something. Yeah. And then like, you know, the next minute it was like he was, you know, doing something crazy that was making her like feel like worthless and unlovable. Mm-hmm. You know, so... Yeah, it's complicated.
Was Secrets of Playboy the first time you found out that things weren't so happy with your mom?
Yeah, I mean, it was like really in like 2011, she started talking to this woman who was on the Secrets of Playboy, Mickey. And I was like, always like, who is my mom talking to? They're so annoying. Like, enough. Like, and it was like, I associated Mickey with like when my mom turned on Hef. And I was just like, I don't like this Mickey lady. What is happening? Like, and you know, now I get it, you know? And so I didn't, and I'd be like, Mom, can you please tell me like what is going on? And she just wouldn't tell me. And then it's like the next minute I'm like going to Sunday Funday. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I get it. She probably didn't want to like ruin that for me too. And I think she just didn't, I think it was just she didn't know how to, like, talk about it to me then. So, yeah, it was years before I finally figured out what – it was, like, literally watching that show. Like, she didn't even tell me, like, before it aired what I was going to be learning. Like, so as soon as it started her main, like, main episode that she was, like, mostly in, like, I was just crying the whole episode. I discovered so much about my mom and – that like hour. And I understood why she didn't tell me yet. Yeah. Like what I said, like I feel like she didn't want to like take away like my good experience there yet because he was still alive when she was had changed the story about him. And so I think she wanted to like let me like enjoy it still, which is, you know, interesting, but I get it. And then I think it was like That's exhausting to explain all that. Like, of course she didn't want to have to go down that road again and tell me all that after she just, like, did it on camera. Like, so I think it was easier for her to tell me by me watching the show.
Yeah. It's also very personal and kind of embarrassing, especially with your daughter. Yeah. Maybe not with a girlfriend, but, like, to tell your daughter some of those
about
things.
About the orgies and stuff. And it's, like, I'm so – such a free spirit. Like, I'm, like, really, like, orgies? Wild and free. But, like, she's also very, like, conservative and, like, you know – very innocent. I mean, when you look at pictures of her when she was young, I mean, she was like the American girl. I mean, she was very innocent. And so she lost her virginity to Hef. Like, she was very pure. Wow. So, like, you know, I think she feels like shame probably for like losing her innocence in that place. But we all lose our innocence in ways, I guess, you know. But I think it was important for her to voice so she could finally start healing. But I think it was also like, whoa, like that is... I went through all that, like, that's, and so I get it. She didn't want to talk to me about it.
What were your emotions when you were watching it? I know you said you were crying and stuff, but were you mad? Were you wanting to throw stuff at the TV saying, stop saying these lies? Like, what were you thinking?
I was mad before, like, because I was confused. And I was like, well, I was like, along with all the other people who liked to be like, well, if it was so bad, then why do you stay? Like, I was just really confused, like, why she would bring me around like a predator, you know? That confused me. But now I completely get it, because he wasn't just a predator. Like, he chose his, like, you know, his target. They know how to choose the perfect person to put through what, you know, what you've gone through and what my mom went through. It's not like, it's very calculated, and they don't do it to everyone. And so I was able to be like, oh, I didn't experience that. But so I don't have to be like, I can understand that she brought me around there, because there was also that side of him that was really magical and cool to her too, that made her feel loved and special. And it was like her whole world, her family. A lot of people stay in abusive or toxic environments or habits, and it's hard to just stop or walk away from something that's like your whole world. Like, it's really scary, like, you know, to just walk away from something that's like your world. She lost so much by sharing her truth finally, all of her friends pretty much. So of course she wasn't trying to do that back then, because she would have no friends, like, and be all alone. Like, that's really sad. So I had all this compassion in it, like, just so much, like, everything just clicked, and I was like, oh, I get it. I completely get it.
Yeah.
And she didn't raise me around a toxic environment, because it wasn't toxic for me. She brought me around a place where I felt so loved and had so much fun. And I am, like, so grateful for my experience there.
Yeah.
That's one thing I really wish I could talk to your mom about, is because I know, like, ever since Secrets of Playboy, like, she got a lot of criticism. Well, why did you still go back? Right. But I know what it's like. And there was a time after I left that I'd had it enough so that I left, but I would still go back every once in a while to film something, or go back for, you know, a Wednesday night hang out with the Playmates or something like that. Because, I mean, there's so many factors. Like, first of all, it takes a long time to really get deprogrammed and really realize what you've been through. But also, like you said, like, she has a lot of friends who are good people who are still in that world. And a lot of times I feel like, for me too, when I left that place, it's like, okay, so there was a lot of negative, but I wanted so badly to turn it into a net positive. And just by, like, brushing over everything and just being like, okay, well, we can, like, maintain this kind of, like, friendship or acquaintanceship. You know, you're trying to, like, tie it all up in this bow that makes everything okay. And, you know, over time, sometimes those feelings come up and you can't do that. But there's so many valid reasons why people still keep going back and keep trying to maintain that relationship and keep it, like, a good thing, you know?
Right. It's you're in survival mode too, doing that. It's like, it's like you're surviving, because it's like the truth is, like, so intense and insane to deal with that, like, you're just not ready to do that yet. And so you're doing your best. And it's like, when you're in survival mode, like, you're going to keep returning to the scene of the crime, like, until you have the, like, wherewithal to disengage fully. And it's like, you know, it's like, it's a process.
I feel like, even though we're talking about, like, going back and stuff, I feel like the same is true with why you stay in the relationship to begin with, like, why we stayed for 7 years. Right. Like, you feel like you put all this into it and you kind of gave up a little bit of yourself to do it. And now you feel like you need to, you can make this a positive thing. You can, you can leave here without all those regrets. Like, if you left now, you would feel bad about yourself or have regrets, or, and I think you can flip it around.
Right.
Yeah. Especially when so many people knew your mom as a Playmate, you're like, damn, do I want to, like, tarnish my reputation? Exactly. Like, when you're known as that thing, you want to try and make it good for as long as you can. I feel like that's a little part of it too.
Definitely. You don't want to disappoint all these people. Yeah, exactly. and that's exactly what she did. She pissed a lot of people off, and it's like, she lost lifelong friends for it. So it's like, it all makes so much sense.
We left the mansion in late 2008, early 2009. When we were there, you were still pretty much a teenager, but you became more involved, sort of, like, coming up more often and on your own after we left.
Yeah.
Tell us what the mansion was like after we were gone.
So it was like, I don't know, like, how, like, if you were you still there when they, like, you had to buy tickets to, like, go to the parties?
We left right before. And right before.
Yeah, that's, like, I went to, like, a few of those parties, and I was like, I'm done coming to the parties. Like, once, like, people could buy tickets, it was just, like, not the vibe. It used to be so cool to go to those parties. But I was going to the parties when I was, like, mostly when I was, like, 17, which is, like, crazy. And then it was more just, like, going up very regularly, like, on Sundays for either, like, Sunday fun day day or like for the movie night, and like everyone like was watching the movie, and I'm like drinking dirty martinis and like having a blast. So I was like loving it. So I mean, I was wild when I was young, and like, you know, I definitely took advantage of that open bar and had so much fun doing it. And people could be like, well, that's a dangerous environment for your parents to bring you around. But it's mm-hmm. like, I was doing that anywhere I went. At least I was like quite safe there doing it. So. Sure. But yeah, so it was definitely became like, you know, once I was like 15, 16, like that I started like drinking there, like, and that's when it was like a whole new world for me. But after you left, it was, yeah, the parties sucked. And it was more just like kind of going there like on Sundays and yeah, just didn't have as much like magic, I guess. Like once you started getting older, I feel like it just kind of felt a little like, yeah, it just wasn't as like magical, like feeling there. Like even Easter, I'd be like, I'm like, this isn't like fun the way it used to be. Like things felt, it just, I don't know. Maybe it was because I was like, maybe like slowly like getting prepared to like see the truth. I don't know. But yeah, just there wasn't that same magic. Like probably when I was like in my early 20s, it started to feel a little weird there.
Did you ever go out with Hef and the girls?
I have a picture of me when I was like 15. I'm like, it's like you and Holly in the picture. Yeah.
Oh, fine. Wait, you came out with us?
Yeah.
To the club when you're 15?
Well, I think, okay. Like I went out, like there was another girl that I went with. Like that was like one of the like regulars' daughter. Like I went with her. And I was dancing with Hef, and like he was so happy I was there. It was hilarious.
Oh, that's funny. So you didn't like line up and get in the limo and go out with Hef. You just were at the same club.
And that's the only time. That was just that one time. And other than that, it was just like going to the parties at his house. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause there was one spot in the Secrets of Playboy Part 2 where you said that you went out with Hef. And then they didn't like ask anything more about it. And I was like, what?
Oh, it's been my mom said that part. Like she was like, oh, Katie will kill me. Cause
there
were a number of stories I could have brought up that I chose not to, because I didn't want the TV show to sensationalize anything. Like, you know, it's like there was a rock star I met when I was 17 at the party that I went on a date with. He was 35. Like I could have brought that kind of stuff up, but I knew like they would like want to twist it maybe.
Yeah.
And like, I'm like, this isn't what this is about for me. This is like me supporting my mom, not giving like people dirt.
So tell me about like the end of the times. I know you said that it started to lose its magic, but what was going on at the end there? And what made you finally stop going?
I think it was just like on some level, I knew the truth. Even without knowing it, if that makes
sense.
Really? Yeah, because my mom was not, she wasn't going up there anymore. So it was like, I wasn't supporting her technically, on some level I was. Like, I was like, oh, wait, something's not right, like, about me being here anymore. Like, but yeah, I think it just was actually also very sad for me because this man that had been a staple of my whole life was dying.
Yeah.
And I'm not good with death.
Mm-hmm.
I've had very few, like, people die in my life. And even then, it was like I kept my distance until like the very end. Like I think that was like really like so sad for me to be like, wait, this. And like the mansion was like a place I went to throughout my whole life. That was all going to be gone soon. So I think on some level, I like removed myself before like it got more real, like, or something. I don't know. I think it was just really sad for me. Like I was like, it's over.
Yeah.
It just, there was like a, there was just a magic that was gone. Like it left the building. It was just like not the same place anymore.
Yeah. I think in the documentary, didn't you talk about Hef kind of getting frail and.
Yeah. And I think seeing him like that made me sad. And it's not because it's like, I was like, oh, like Hef's like old now. Like what a bummer. Like how boring. It was like, so sad for me because I loved him and I didn't want to see him dying. Like that like broke my heart. Like. It was just really sad for me. That's all it was. It was just like I felt genuinely like heartbroken that like this force of my life was leaving the earth. And
you said you did go to the memorial.
Yeah, I did. And I was like – and I was really upset. I thought my mom would go. And I really just – I think it was because I just wanted to like believe in like their fairy tale still and like that, you know, oh, she'll come for this, you know. And it's like, no, of course she wouldn't. But like – yeah, I was still kind of sad that she didn't want to be there, but it was, I don't know how, being there for the memorial was, I cried but it was also just, there was kind of like a darkness, like a dark energy.
Oh.
Yeah, ominous.
For the rest of our Katie interview and a ton more content, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/girlsnextlevel.